this is Nigeria Daily. My name is Lilian Ogazi. Federal universities, polytechnics, and colleges of education have been taken off from the Integrated Personal Payment System, IPPIS. Is this for good or bad? Well, let's give you a little backstory. The federal government introduced the IPPIS in 2006 as one of its reform initiatives for the effective storage of personal records, saying the move would improve transparency and accountability. Now, unfortunately, ASUU has held its resolve for so long in rejecting attempts by the federal government's enforcement of the IPPIS with several industrial actions that disrupted educational activities in 2022. Yielding to pressure, the government granted concessions to ASUU and took universities and polytechnics and college of educations off the IPPIS. What does this mean? Is this for the good or bad? Well, let's find out as I have a chat with the current affairs analyst.
So my name is Musa Anzumari, a current affairs analyst from Kaduna State. Well, I think really it's not surprising and it's not something that one can go deep enough to find the solutions and the reason why the government, the federal government has to take the universities and other tertiary institutions of the IPPIS. Because in the first place, the universities really have struggled to get out of the IPPIS because of the mode of their operations. So the operations of the university system does not condone that, and the universities have already succeeded in giving the federal government a formula that is different from IPPIS, so that the, whatever the government really, the federal government wants to really achieve, the universities have succeeded in designing a format that will live up to that. I think that is more of the reason, because the operations in the universities, in the tertiary education system, is different from, it cannot really give the universities what they really expect, especially that the university lecturers can really lecture from one university to the other within the context of the fact that they really have to accommodate as many students as possible. Oh. And at the same time, they really need to move from one university to the other, from one continent to the other. So if that is really the case, then I think really they don't belong to the IPPIS.
All right.
And so them really to have really public to struggle the way they did to ensure that they are really out of the IPPIS system. I think the current government really has done what is right, and the universities for them to accept what the federal government has done, I think they have done what is right too.
Okay, so one of the reasons why the federal government claimed to have put them on the IPPIS was to regulate corruption and, you know, ghost workers and all of that. Do you think the universities would be able to achieve this on their own as one who is observing, you know, on the outside?
You see, we just conclude to the fact that they have done the right thing because the universities have not really done that in the vacuum. They have succeeded in giving the federal government an alternative to the IPPIS. I think that we know what the IPPIS is up to, to reduce corruption in that and to make sure that a person works only in one place. I think the universities have succeeded in doing that. And if the federal government wants to do that, then the federal government will have to look at the conditionalities and the peculiarities that exist in each of these institutions. So if those things are not really looking into, then I think really the federal government is being penny wise. And for the federal government not to be penny wise, then they have to remove the institutions that they don't belong, that don't belong to the IPPIS, and then put them where they truly belong. So I think really it's like, so the universities can now, with the good eyes of the federal government on them, they can really do what is right. They can really be able to maintain and contain and control their own accounts. So I don't think really that they are really difficult. So you don't have to really bring a system and then generalize the whole thing and then to think that that is what will give you results. It's not going to give any results as long as really the essence is not being achieved.
Okay, so
the essence is being achieved.
Okay, so you're saying that this is for the advantages to universities?
Yes, it's the advantages of universities and the federal government, because now the federal government will be able to utilize the services of the university lecturers and will be able to now control the university system very well.
All
you need to do is to make sure that the Office of the Accountant General is really up and doing.
All right.
You'll be able to look at all the sectors that were in the IPPIS and then removed from the IPPIS. Then if that is done, then there is no problem.
That was a current affairs analyst speaking. You are listening to Nigeria Daily, coming to you from Daily Trust. We'll be going on break. Do stay.
It's enlightening.
It's incisive.
It's analytical.
It's entertaining.
It's educating.
It's the berry. podcast from Daily Trust addressing issues that have direct bearing in your life. Join us every week on www.dailytrust.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dailytrust, on Twitter at twitter.com/dailytrust, and on YouTube at youtube.com/dailytrust. To listen in, join us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio.
You are welcome back. This is Nigeria Daily coming to you from Daily Trust Online. In this episode, we are talking about the IPPIS and what it means for universities now they are off. Before we went on break, we spoke with a current affairs analyst who told us what it means for universities. And from what he has said, there's kind of like an advantage to it. But you know what? But let's hear from the universities, from lecturers, and to find out if this is an advantage to them and how they intend to check transparency using the IPPIS.
Professor Ahmad Muhammad, from the Department of Economics, Bayero University. It's something that has been agitating quite long.
Okay.
Because the IPPIS, as an economist in particular, and then an university teacher, is a payment platform that has good side and then the other side. But to be fair, it has some good side that it was aimed at up initial, that they want to streamline all the payments so that they will have good control of what is going on and what is coming in. They want to enhance government revenue, trying to insert appropriate taxes charged, and then the money will go to the government coffers, from where they would probably distribute it to the respective states, being pay-as-you-earn revenue. They said they want to equally check mismanagement of some of the resources by some of the universities and colleges of education. They want to avoid fraud being part of the advantages of the IPPIS. They equally want to avoid employment of ghost workers and then ensure ultimately efficiency. However, being a university staff, we've seen it as counterproductive because it is not compatible at all with the university system. The platform does not provide a lot of things that the university requires. The university system is a system that is very complex. In such a way that the same thing, IPP is not going to work for it. We have situations whereby we, at every point in time, we have a need for staff, critical staff, to be engaged. But this system is not allowing for that. And then, of course, the manpower planning of universities and colleges of education is not stable because of the platform of IPPIS. Because it is the university that will determine who to employ, when, where. But that has been distorted totally by the IPPIS. Because if you need critically manpower in petroleum engineering, you cannot get that with IPPIS because you have to go to many ministries like Ministry of Planning, Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Wages and Salaries Commission, Federal Character Commission, Office of Office of Accountant General, Office of Head of Service. You have to go to liaise with all of this. And sometimes even you have to go to the House of Assembly, House. Okay? So before you do that, at the end of the day, you find out that you cannot even employ. And then even if you want to employ, all those ministries that you have to write to, they will now begin to think of their own personal interest, building in the people. If you want 10, they can employ 20 or 30 to you, reducing some of the people. At the end of the day, you need petroleum engineering professionals. You will end up having people who need languages, who need mathematics, and those that you don't necessarily need. So the manpower planning of universities is highly distorted, and then it has become a platform of employing ghost workers, what they claim to have sanitized, so it is the other way around. And then it happens that it is creating a very excessive taxes to staff, thereby affecting negatively the welfare of staff.
Okay.
The take home to staff has been grossly reduced. And then this IPPIS block access to the employment of
part-time visiting sabbatical staff that aided the facilitation of teaching and research in all our universities. And again, it causes a lot of challenge in terms of bureaucracy. Bureaucracy in the sense that if there is any slight mistake, one couldn't get his salary, he has to start following up from the school up to Abuja.
Okay.
And if care is not taken, that one mistake of 1 month will take 1 6 months.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And okay. Then, of course, the issue of fundamentally, world over universities require a certain level of autonomy to be able to determine things based on their councils. That level of leverage has totally been wiped out by the IPPR.
Okay, so sorry to cut you short now. You've mentioned the certain disadvantages of the IPPIS and why it's good that universities have been taking off it. Now, what are the disadvantages that universities stands to suffer now that it is off the IPPIS? We're already seeing increment in school fees. Would them being off the IPPIS also lead to, will we see a more increment in school fees? What do universities stands to suffer now that they are off the IPPIS?
You see, the University Council and then the issue of increasing school fees, they're not quite directly related.
Okay.
The issue of increase in school fees is not because we don't have council, or it's not because of IPPIS. The increase in school fees is naturally because of the changing economic situation, the economic challenges we have in the country.
Okay.
The issue of subsidy withdrawal that lead to a skyrocketing increase in virtually everything. Okay. Look at our inflation level, it's double digit and it's even going to hyperinflation. Okay? Mm-hmm. Making it difficult for universities to really take care of those universities. And then, of course, the pronunciation of the government of that is going to hands up in terms of financing university education. So these two things put together, we really have to bring about thought. How are they going to sustain the system? Okay?
Mm.
We've been mentioning this. Universities collect 12 million naira monthly overhead for electricity, for water, for maintenance and other things. 12 million monthly. And you'll find out in Bayero University, Kano, for instance, they spend well over 70 million naira monthly.
Okay.
To cater for diesel, electricity, and other things. So it's not the issue of council. Council are there as representative of Mr. President.
Okay.
To manage the university, to approve a lot of the requests of the university, to direct the university, okay, in terms of their plans, what they want to achieve, their strategic plans, day-to-day activities are going to be approved by the council, which the dynamism and then the flexibility will be good for university system.
That was Professor Ahmed Sowry speaking. God bless Nigeria. That wraps up the show for today. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Lilian Ogazi. Bye for now.